So the title today is To Proclaim the Good News, Part 1. So the Word of God comes today from Luke 4. The first section of Luke 4 is about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Our readings come after that. Luke 4, 14 to 30 today. And next week we'll look at the rest of the chapter. So let us look at Luke 4, 14 to 30. And on your pew Bibles, it is on page 1596. Luke 4, 14 to 30. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogue, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do you hear in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum?' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there were a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet no one of them was cleansed, only Nahum the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went his way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I will reveal who this person is towards the end of my sermon, but let's call this person Mike for now. Music was Mike's life, and he wrote his first song at 5 years old. Mike grew up playing the drums and was in choir. At age 17, all of his friends went to college, and Mike moved to Nashville, Tennessee, to become a songwriter. He was going to live life to the fullest. He played music after hours at bars and eventually got into trouble. Mike got tempted into smoking joint, cocaine, LSD, drugs, etc. Mike fell into depression, and this continued for several years until he had a near-death experience. Mike was helpless, and he couldn't help himself. Mike was desperate. He was lost. He had no direction in life. Mike needed to be rescued. The passage from Luke 4 today that is about proclaiming the good news or the gospel, this is what Jesus brought to the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ is literally the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Savior, the one who saves and rescues us. This is the good news. The Bible word for good news, euangelion, in Greek, is also the word that we have evangelize comes from, a word that directly comes from the Greek, which means bring the message of the good news to the people. Jesus is the one who brings the good news here. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and now the Holy Spirit leads him back to Nazareth, which is his hometown. Jesus grew up and the crowd knew him. He spoke at the crowd, preaching on a regular Sabbath. This was typical for Jesus, according to verse 15, as he taught in the synagogue and was apparently well received, and people praised him. So Jesus stands to teach, and Jesus begins to read from Isaiah, a passage most Jews certainly would have been familiar with. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery, the sight for the blind, to set liberty for those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The word anointed here is the word Christ in Greek and Messiah in Hebrew. These verses can only be found in Luke from the gospel. This passage from the prophet Isaiah was a promise from God to the Israelites, to the Jews, that there will be a Messiah who will come to rescue them, rescue Israel. Just like Mike, they need to be rescued. The last verse here says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is a year of Jubilee. The Jews know this very well, which can be found in Leviticus 25. The year of Jubilee is basically the things when things are made right, where they gain their freedom. Quote, the year of Jubilee involves a year of release from indebtedness and all types of bondage. All prisoners and captives were set free, all slaves released, all debts were forgiven, and all properties were returned to the original owner, unquote. For those Jews, the feeling of being poor, being broken, captive, oppressed, would be quite familiar with them. It was during a time when Israel was under the Roman Empire. The presence of the Roman officers and soldiers, along with the tax collectors, was a reminder to the Jews that they were being oppressed. But it's much more than the Roman Empire in that time. It goes all the way back. The captive and slavery goes all the way back to Egypt and the Babylonians, where God freed them. They could not be Jewish and not understand what it means to be enslaved, bondage, or oppressed. So Jesus reads the passage from Isaiah, and as he is unfolding this huge scroll, scholars says that this scroll is about 24 feet long. And as he's reading it, it silences the crowd. A synagogue is a place where people worship God, and it consists a minimum of 10 Jewish men. When someone is reading, they're standing up, and when they're teaching, they are sitting down. When Jesus was done, after he read, he rolled down the scrolls, he gave it back to the attendant, and all eyes was on him. I'm sure that the people there knew Isaiah's text, but Jesus, the way he spoke with captivity, he spoke with authority, which got the crowd's attention. But Jesus was different. When Jesus spoke, he spoke with authority. And Jesus, and this week in Luke tells us that this week, in this part of Luke 4, Jesus speaks with authority, but for the rest of the chapter, Jesus showed his authority in action, and we will look at next week. But Jesus ends here, and he is proclaimed, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. As we get a closer picture of what's happening, Jesus proclaimed to be the Messiah of the Old Testament that the prophet had prophesied. Jesus proclaimed that he proclaimed the good news, and he will heal, set free, and bring sight to the blind. The people of Nazareth did not receive this very well because this was his hometown. They claim that they know Jesus and he is not the Messiah. He's just a carpenter's son. They reject Jesus. They reject the good news that was proclaimed. So Jesus proclaimed the good news. And who is the good news proclaimed for? The poor. Jesus proclaimed good news to the poor. It is to the poor. In order for us to see the good news, we need to understand the bad news. So the poor here in Greek is the word togas, which is a Greek word meaning a beggar, absolute poverty, cringe, bankrupt, someone who has nothing to offer. Pastor Drew brought this up during his series on the Sermon on the Mount on Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. It is the same word poor here that is used in Luke. Poor, poverty of spirit, spiritual humility. This is the bad news. When we have a knowledge of our terrible sin, it is when we have knowledge of our great need to be rescued, just like Mike. It is when we have a knowledge of completely helplessness and we can't save ourselves and we need to be rescued. Just like the Sermon on the Mount starts with the poor, Luke 4 also says that the gospel, the good news, is proclaimed for the poor. Verse 18 and 19 continues with four things that Jesus would do after he lists about the poor. Freedom for the prisoners, sight to the blind, set free for those who are oppressed, proclaim favorable for the year of the Lord. And we will look at that. Freedom for the prisoners. This comes from the Greek word means to be taken by a spear. Have you ever seen those movies where the soldier have a spear and they take people? That's what this means. A prisoner, someone who's been captive, who's been taken to custody, and who awaits punishment or even execution. The next one, sight to the blind. Blind people are those who are lost. They don't know where they're going. They have no direction. Just like Mike. John 9:39, Jesus says, "For judgment I came into the world so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." The third one, to set free those who oppress. The word oppress here comes from what it means to be crushed, to be bruised, or even run through. And the last, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. This is really about forgiveness. The year of Jubilee is really about forgiveness. And in our context, it's really about the forgiveness of sins. This is salvation. We are saved by grace, and we are undeserving. We do not deserve this. We are no longer guilty, and we are declared righteous because of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. So to be no longer guilty means that you are free, freedom. We are now free and no longer condemned. We live in a fallen and broken world. We are poor. We are a prisoner to our own sin. The Bible calls that a slavery to sin. We are blind and lost. We need to be rescued, and we can't save ourselves, just like Mike, and we're all in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. This is not just the good news, but it is the best and the greatest news for humanity. It is what humanity longs for. Notice that in our society, when we hear the word poor, these people are somebody that people would look down on. But in here, poor, many times when we think poor, we think that the need for poor is more money, more material, something that's tangible. But Jesus gives us that. No, they need the good news, the greatest news ever for humanity, for poor people like us. And this is salvation. It is what our hearts long for. Pastor Drew also brought this quote up, and I love to use it during my sermons too. It is by St. Augustine. "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until we rest in you." John Calvin also says, "Whenever our sins press hard against us, whenever Satan would drive us to despair, we must hold up this shield that God does not want us to be overwhelmed in everlasting destruction, for he has ordained his son to be the salvation of the world." Mike, from the story in the beginning, introduction that I talked about, in November 1979, Mike got rescued at 12:30 a.m. at night. Mike went into the floor, and he began to shake and crawled like a baby, weeping and crying. He wept and wept and cried and cried. And Mike cried out to God, "Help me." And he had tears. Mike said, "I was in a pile of life and no escape, and I could not get out, and I need to be rescued." 8 months later, Mike got better through Jesus Christ. He never looked back, and he started having record deals. Mike said, "Pretty remarkable. God is faithful." The Mike I've been referring to is also known as Michael W. Smith. We all know him today as the famous Christian singer. He says, "Selling a million records does not bring peace. I know where my hope is. It is not being a rock star. The greatest peace that I know is that I am in Christ." The good news for us today is that we are poor, broken, lost, and blind, prisoner of our own sin. And we need to be rescued just like Michael W. Smith. And we can't save ourselves. We need Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. In conclusion, I want to read a testimony from Michael W. Smith from the lyrics of his song, Grace. And this is his lyrics from his song, Grace. "I was lost when you found me here. You pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love. I'll be a fool for the King of Love. He gave me wings so I could fly, and gave me a song to color the sky. And all I have is all from you, and all I want is all of you. It's grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me." Let us pray together.